following program has been furnished and paid for by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSCB and KGBC are not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show, the cyber version. We're glad to be with you once again, and we thank you, as usual, for tuning in. Before we get started, let's just remind everyone that just because you hear us discuss a certain topic, mainly cyber security related on today's show, don't rush off and try these strategies on your own. Be sure to check with your existing advisor, see that you understood what you thought you heard, and especially in the arena of cybersecurity, that it will suit your goals and objectives. As usual, we have our cyber expert on board today, Mr. A.I. Nguyen. Mr. Nguyen, how are you doing today?
Good morning. Can you hear me okay?
I can. I'm
doing great. How's everyone doing?
Great. Weather good there?
The weather good so far. No complaining.
Yeah.
No complaining.
Well, you know, the place, I just drove through a heavy rain in one piece of Bangkok, and I'm now into another piece closer to my home, and it's bone dry, which that kind of explains Houston at times too, doesn't it?
Yeah. Let's start with a joke. Okay, let's help everything else.
Okay, right. Got a good joke?
I have a good one. we'll see. Okay, ready?
Okay.
Why don't skeletons ever start a podcast?
Have a something podcast. What did you call it?
They say, the question is, why don't skeletons ever start a podcast?
Ever start a podcast?
Yeah, because they don't have the guts. Because they don't have the guts or the voice. Get it?
True.
Oh, man,
very
that's
good.
Cool.
Very good. I think they liked it, Wes. I think they liked it.
Huh? Okay.
Anyway. Yeah. So what's our agenda today? What are we going to be discussing?
I tell you, this July 24th, 2025, there's a lot of security issue. There's a lot of ransomware and data breaches and major attacks. I mean, this month alone is the ransomware is up the ante. I mean, it's a lot. Okay, we have like a Qantas airline data breach. Then with Radic ransomware attacks. Then you have Citrix. You know, the new flaws, that the big one called zero-day session. And all this zero-day is, you know, this is not like your normal vulnerability. This is, we're talking about state sponsor. You know, these kind of people. The zero-day is not like your regular hacker that created. This is a government sponsor kind of type. So there are a lot of stuff going on there.
Yeah.
And you have the state-backed espionage and geopolitics, like the Salt Typhoon, the Chinese, you know. Attacks, APT attacks, and then you have the rising Iranian and Russian cyber attack. I mean, this week alone is a lot. Okay.
Yeah.
So there are a lot. A lot of people don't know, but there's a ransomware occur every single day and is surging right now. Okay, big time.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of company, like a big company, get hacked. And they don't tell you about it, but there are a bunch of them. For example, last week you have this Texas Department of Transportation, they got over 300,000 records are reportedly on sales on cybercrime forums.
The data
include name, addresses, driver license, birthday, and vehicle information.
But no social security number on that one?
They're probably not going to tell you, but you have the insurance.
Everything else.
Yeah, everything else. Pretty much they have your license number, driver license number, your birthday, okay?
Yeah.
And insurance and detail
they
accident.
Can buy it.
They can buy it, $300,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they could buy the social security number from the national data breach and then sync them up, cross-reference it, right?
And then the next day you have, and there's another new, this is all July, this is all last week, you have a Chinese hacking suspect arrested, which is a good thing. It's a Silk Typhoon.
Yeah.
And this is linked to the Chinese state-sponsored hacking group. And they are accused of COVID-19 vaccine espionage. And they also target the U.S. government departments. This is all last week. Okay. Yeah. And then you have another one, Bank of America and Bittrex. They have over 391 record of people. That's a lot. That's more than the United States.
Wait a minute. 391. You mean million?
Millions records.
Yeah.
They claim to have over 391 million records. The database from 2023 to today. And they offer for sale. So right now they are the new things, right? This new somewhere not just encrypted your file. They also have additional to it. It say if you don't pay, not only we don't unencrypt your file, but we also take your information, we sell it online, and we can open it for the mass to see. So that's the new thing that they have. Okay,
yeah.
Very advanced. I mean, it's incredible. Just
didn't you mention to me that the Russians kind of got a taste of their own?
Oh yeah,
this
yeah,
week.
Yeah. So
what were the details on that?
So
who did it?
So nobody know, but we pretty much know either the Ukraine or the U.S. or the Israeli. But the infrastructure, their pipeline, also got hacked. So they have something that they can turn off. Our infrastructure, we also have something on against that as well. Now, this is our public news, you know. This is not. Everything we talk about here is our public news. It's nothing about, you know. And then you have, let me see here. Then you have Facebook. Oh, my God. 700,000 user credential. I don't know. Do you have Facebook? I disconnect mine. Do you use Facebook? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of. I have an account. I haven't used it. Quite
they won't let you turn off. That's the thing. I cannot delete my account. That's the problem.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
I mean, this last week alone.
I'm not a big fan.
Okay. Okay.
I've said it before.
Okay. Here's another one. Xfinity Wi-Fi motion raised an eyebrow over home surveillance. Okay. There's a new feature on Xfinity, okay, it allow your TV to use as a motion sensor for your house. Do you use all your devices as a motion sensor? Did you hear what I just said?
Yeah, that's not.
Yeah.
That's not nice.
No.
That's not nice.
So it could be used for good or bad, right?
Yeah.
The problem is the motion data may be stored and shared with the third parties, including law enforcement. But I'm not worried about the law enforcement. What about other state sponsors? Other hackers?
Other actors.
Yeah.
Other
so
actors.
Imagine, I don't feel safe knowing that all my, this is called what they call IoT, Internet of Things, right? All your devices like your motion sensor, your cameras, your router, your switcher, your TVs, all that stuff.
Yeah, they're
become alive.
Hanging us in our own news.
You know, like the other day when
hanging us in our own news.
Mm-hmm. So the other day I was talking on a team for meetings, and then all of a sudden, Amazon answered, "We don't have that product." I wasn't talking to you, buddy. And then the next day,
and
you
crazy.
Turn off. And also, too, you know, have you ever noticed that when you talk about something, and the next you talk to somebody, right? Not on your phone, but you talk to your friend, you know, at a party about a certain topic, And the next thing you know, that when you search for something on the phone or you go to Facebook,
yeah.
and all of a sudden they talk about the topic you're talking about, that means they're listening to your conversations. They listen to your conversation, you know?
That's true.
So I'm telling you this, the technology is very advanced. It's good, but at the same time, I think it's going to pose a lot of issue. Because here's another one.
Well,
yeah. Uh-huh. Global ransomware group claimed responsibility. Now they're attacking the city. Okay, so this is Ohio's auditor office got hit by ransomware. This is July 14. So people need, oh my God, this is cybersecurity. This is on the rise. This is big time. Huge.
Yeah, but how do you, I mean, without unplugging, how do you deal with it as an individual consumer?
Well,
the cell phone.
And I'm telling you, the phishing email they have is very advanced now. Like, I received the other day that one of the email looked like it's normal whole life story. And the way they crafted the email is pretty amazing. And some of the stuff that they, you know, like usually when I train people, I say, before you click on the link, you look at the domain name, right? The name, domain name, like IBM or and they are legit. But what happened is there's a, somehow the hacker be able to mimic the DNS, that the name server that matches, but at the same time that they mimic some of the stuff that you see, you say, wait a minute, this came from a legit company. I click on it. But when you click on it, it's not the click that it hurts you. It's the next step that they make you authenticate using your Office 365. We mentioned this before, or Google authentication. Yeah. So you need to be careful. You need to have a mindful. Every time when you click on something, you just need to ask yourself a question. Is this safe? Instead of you received an email from the bank, go directly to the bank. Don't click on the link. I keep telling people 100 times, and people still continue to do it. And here's another
one.
Well, yeah.
You know, it ought to be, the bank shouldn't be able to send you emails. I mean, that, I just, you know, it amazes me. I'm not going to mention any names, but I'll just tell you, one of the banks I use, they harp on, they try to put the onus on you to be secure. And at the same time, they're doing stupid stuff that shows you they're not serious about security, or they wouldn't be sending me some of the things they're sending me, you know? And I don't know. At times I think I'm, you know, you feel like you're chasing your tail.
Yeah.
With the security issues. But,
you know, right now, anyway. I'm looking at 2 days ago, you got 1, 2, 3, 4, the Vitek company, Printon Smith, Ashland Public School, Morrison Company, Burnett and Chesky Associate, Wavery Cabinet. They all got hit with ransomware. And they all data got taken and put online. And
so that means they didn't pay them?
That means they did not pay them, exactly. And the thing is, too, you can, if you know, if you're a hacker, you know where to shop off all these informations.
Yeah, sure.
So that's a new thing now, you know.
So companies at that level, they must have had backups that were easily restorable for them to kind of thumb their nose at the hacker. But it's kind of brazen that they, you know, just turned and went the other way. I mean, what about us? Right? I mean, what about
we're nothing.
The people whose data was taken?
Hey, I know.
Guess they've probably got insurance these days to cover whatever. If we complain, you know, they're going to give you the subscription to, you know, some of the tools for, you know, credit and other repair, right?
Yeah.
That might result from.
Hey, by the way.
I figure that's cheaper.
By the way, I know you use a lot of PDF, right? You have PDF files every day. So that's a new, these are 2 days ago, right? July 17. So they mimic like a download. And when you open it, well, first you look at it as, hey, it's a PDF, right? But the moment you click on it, this time it doesn't ask you for authentications. So it has a special link called .ink. The more you click on it, it takes you to another site. I mean, immediately, it infected your file. So that's why I tell people, okay, always have your antivirus and Windows up to date. You must. Or reboot your system every day. Update the system.
And so that, when it takes you to the
it's already installed stuff.
I guess it is.
Yeah, it's already installed.
Well, So you don't really see what's going on behind the scenes?
No. So everything happened behind the scene, the window Chrome. I mean, the Chrome browser, you know?
How can you tell if you have that, Wynn? Because I bet there's users that don't realize they're infected.
There's a software that I use. We're not promoting anybody products, right? But I am using one product that mostly all the anti-hackers online are using. It's called Guardios. So it's pretty good. Even if you, and I already try it, even if you make a mistake, you click on the link, it will not you execute. So like a second layer of security, you can click it all day. The moment you click on it, say, hey, this site is not legit. So look at all the DNS behind the scene and they're warning you right away. When you see that warning, now sometimes I would say 95% of the time they are correct, and the other 5% maybe they, you have to verify, wait a minute.
You know?
So you have to be careful what you click on, but this software is called Guardio. And if the user or people online can ask, I can give them the link, they can take a look at it. But I use it myself on the phone. It worked really well. So one time that I, you know, on Facebook, there are a lot of scam, right? And especially Instagram. So I saw an advertisement looked pretty good. So I click on it. I say, I want to buy it. I want to purchase. The moment I click on that, man, that thing come up and say, warning, right away. So at least it give me, hey, a second chance, look at it again before I proceed. And right on it, man, that was a fake one. That was a fake one. Because they somehow, they look at beyond the DNS name. When I say DNS name, like, you know, IP address resolved to a name like IBM.com, Microsoft.com. It looked beyond that. It looked beyond that. And it automatically flagged immediately. It said, this is fraud before I even execute. I ordered a bunch of stuff.
Yeah,
and you know, go ahead.
Yeah, but what if you don't have Guardio and you're suspicious that maybe you've clicked one of these links?
So what happens?
How can I confirm?
So it happened to me before. Okay, so this site look legit and there's no flag at all. And I actually ordered something and it just didn't come. So then I go to the website, then I go to the email. You know, the way they crafted the system, like they the moment you order something, they give you send you an email. You just order something, look and also tell give you the tracking number, all the thing like that. Then over time, I say, hey, wait a minute, I haven't received the product. Then I go to the website and you know it, and then I call this, never respond. Boom, it was all fake. Even the tracking numbers are fake, and this is from Instagram, right? You don't know. You don't know, but it happened to me before. However, if you pay everything on Apple card, Apple will refund your money.
Is that right?
Yep. Huh. So it happened to me, and they take about over 2 months, but they refund your money. But at the same time, they also reset your password. That's another painful. Oh my God! Have you ever tried to recover your password, Apple?
It's impossible. Apple. And Google, although Google isn't quite as bad, but
it's all automated. Man, there's no user. There's no human talking to you. So basically, the way that first they shut down your authentication for 2 days, 2-3 days, right? And then when you recover it, it takes them 48 hours to respond to you. And they say, you need to lock out all your devices. And then they give you 48 hours. Then they say, after 48 hours, you can start the process. You're not done yet. Then you say, recovering. Then from there, you have to wait another 72 hours. Now, within that 72 hours, you make sure you don't use that device. If you use your computer to recover, do not use that computer at all. The moment you do that, you set the whole process all over again. It took me 3 weeks.
Oh, man.
3 weeks.
To figure all that out, right?
3 weeks to reset the password and to figure all that out, because they don't have a human to talk to you. Everything is computerized.
Wonderful.
Yep.
Wonderful.
And the reason they say that, they did that for a reason. So what happened is, you know, like sometimes when you people, when they hire somebody like online to do stuff for them, and they give them access on the other side. So what happened, let's just say you have somebody develop something for you on Apple, and then you hire somebody overseas to do it, and they're using your credential. What happened is you log in the United States and they log in India, for example. That automatically flag impossible travel, right? That means you cannot be two places at the same time. And immediately,
yeah,
they will lock you out immediately.
Huh.
Then you start the process. So just because I file against this person for fraud online, Apple automatically, you know, we give you your money back, but we reset all your stuff, all your password.
Yeah.
Yep. So it's a pain, you know.
Yeah, sounds like it.
And I'm looking at
this. I haven't had to go through that with Apple, but I've got one iPhone that's a brick because they won't, even though I can tell them the passcode, I can't tell them which Apple ID. It was one I let a staff member use. And it's impossible. If you don't have that,
no.
I have the receipt showing I bought it. That doesn't matter.
No.
You know?
So, but one thing I like about Google, Google has a hard token. Remember I told you about that you can authenticate. So as long as you have a hard token, you will reset password a lot easier. Because as long as you have the hard token, they know who you are. Because that's physical. You actually have that token. That makes sense? So even the bad guy know your username or password, and they can use over China or India, right? But without that token, they cannot access your system. Because they don't have the token, the physical token. I think Google at least have that options. So while I'm looking at, look at this. A new wave of U.S. business hit by ransomware attack. This is 3 days ago. The company Resource Energy, Family Law Group, Young Adjustment, American Funding. I'm telling you, it's left and right. So many of them. So many. Oh, did I tell you the FAA was hacked too? FAA.
Well, it was a while ago, wasn't it? Like a month or two? No.
Didn't July 8th. So the group, basically, I don't know if it's real or not, but basically the group claimed to have stolen personal data from a Federal Aviation Administration. Full name, address, everything. Email, type, organization, position code. This is scary. So anyway, then you have, let's see here. There's a rise in, did you hear about the OpenAI and the Pentagon has a contract? OpenAI.
Recently? While it became known? Oh,
yeah.
Okay, so it was publicly announced.
Publicly announced. And I think,
I'm surprised it's taken this long.
Well, this is a good sign, right? Because this is the defense. This is the Pentagon, Department of Defense, had a contract over $200 million with the OpenAI and ChatGPT. So I think they recognize it, okay? And mostly, this is called a shadow AI, and they will use that for basically to build. They built some kind of AI defense and attack based on a shadow AI, synthetic identity fraud, deepfake threats. That's what they use it for. So that's what they use it for. AI-driven malware. So they use this technology to stop the attacker from, you know, like machine learning, thing like that. Remember I told you about the RAG? That's your private AI stuff.
Right.
Yeah. You can build your own AI. OpenAI will allow you to, you can build your own, your private industry can use their own private. Like, for example, if you have a lot of documents, you can build your own RAG, your own AI, specifically for your organization only. You have a lot of documents. It will scan all your documents. By the way, Google had that now. Do you know that?
No. You mean within Gemini?
Within Gemini, and that's an AI called AI Gemini Pro. It's called Google Pro, and it allows you to use AI to search for your document. Let's just say you have a lot of photo and document, and you can query, you can look. I mean, I haven't tried to the full potential, but it has something similar. to ChatGPT. Or it's just like a co-pilot, like Microsoft Copilot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which the first, what'd you call it, RAG or RAC?
RAG.
Is that a ChatGPT product or
no,
OpenAI product?
It's RAG is a technology. It basically stands for Retrievable Augmented Generation. It's a modern AI methodology for combining a large language model and real-time data, basically personal. You use it for your organizations. Customized, okay? So basically, you only use OpenAI for analysis, for algorithm, but your data is yours. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a clue.
You inject ChatGPT.
Yeah.
So basically, you inject ChatGPT into your data, your private data. So ChatGPT doesn't use will not do anything except using your data and using out the algorithm to process. That's how it is. Called retrievable, retrieve your data, augmented, retrieve your data, and then generate. That's all the future. Think about this, especially if any organization that use document will need this. Look how fast. For example, imagine this. If you have over 10 years of help desk information, right? You have those information right in front of you.
Yeah.
Right?
Wonder how that works with Google Voice. I've been wanting to get off of Google Voice totally.
You have account. You have account, Google.
You've got your life. I mean, images, snippets of spreadsheets. I mean, I've got a lot of stuff over the years from friends, from clients, et cetera, where I can't do without having that historical knowledge base, and they make some tools to do a export, but I haven't seen anything that I was confident enough to cut the cord with. But you know, I don't know, maybe some sort of AI tool.
Check it out. You have account with them, so check it out. And I think it's called Google AI Gemini. Just check it out and see what it can do for you.
Yeah.
But,
hey, Wynn, let's go ahead and take a break. We've gone way past.
Okay.
We'll circle back here momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-782-1900. That's 713-782-1900. Or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com. That's Nathan at npross.com.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Well, Oh no, I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough to take control and make demands. Look like a woman, think like a man, be as good as or better than. Gotta woman up and take it like a man.
Okay, welcome back to this week's Be a Planner show, the cyber version, with Nathan Ross, CPA, and have my expert in that topic, Mr. A.I. Nguyen, on board again today. And Nguyen's been delineating several of the latest big hack attacks or hacker attacks, primarily ransomware. And I tell you, it's just,
I don't know.
It's tough to be, it's a bad time to be a big company with valuable data.
And I don't know how
data,
I can keep up with it. I mean, up to, and this is something I read every day and do every day, and I can't even keep up with it. Hey, but before we start, let's tell another joke. Let's smooth things down a little bit. How's that?
Okay.
You ready?
There you go.
Okay, I want you to listen clear. Hold on. Ready? Okay. Why did the Scarecrow become a successful podcast host?
Today is podcast day, huh? I'm not sure. I really, you're catching me.
All right, just say you give up. How's that?
Oh, okay, I give up. Okay. I give up. Yes, yes.
Because he was outstanding in the field.
Okay, I like the other one better. I like the first joke better.
Okay, at least I'm trying.
Anyway, yes, true, true.
Okay. Anyway, we've been talking about a lot of problem for the past half hours, right? And I want to talk about solutions. You know, so what can we do? Protect against the modern cyber attack like ransomware, AI-driven attack, state-backed sponsor espionage, or massive data breaches. You know that your data could be already out there. You just don't know about it. They didn't get to you yet.
Oh, I would say it's not could. It's a question of how many spots is it actually out there in.
I think one day I might going to go for shoppings, you know, just create another PC and then go to dark web. The thing about going to dark web, you have to know exactly what you're looking for. Okay? And I tell you, you have the state sponsor, you got government. Thing like that, like, they sell stuff like this, cost over $1 million. Who do you think have the money to buy it? You got to be.
Well, I was
going to
say it's not for the average.
No.
You know, $25 consumer, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not what they do. But.
Yeah. So, what can we do? The question is, what? Okay, I have somebody to say. What can we do? What actionable solution tailor for organization and individual? I say. To protect yourself against data breaches and ransomware, regular security audits. Now, these are for corporations. Perform penetration tests and audit all digital assets, including cloud infrastructure and third parties. You know, this is what I tell people. The only thing, you know, you can have the greatest firewall or you can have the greatest endpoint security, but if you don't know your asset, if your firewall don't know your asset, it cannot protect. It can only protect what it can see. That makes sense?
Yeah.
You have to scan your asset.
Well,
you have to know your asset.
It can only catch something it can see, but it might block something unknowingly if it's got
the right
structure.
So a lot of companies, like they have, like let's just say they have a 10,000 endpoint, like PC or desktop, for example. But they only install like 8,000, for example, endpoint security they know about. What about the other 2,000? When I'm talking about especially in the field of oil and gas company, especially in the operation technology. I'm talking about the other side, like SCADA network, not the enterprise network, but SCADA. They have a lot of stuff like monitoring humans, machine operations, you know, like those components stuff. If your firewall doesn't know about it, it won't protect you. Okay? So anyway, so regular audits, scan your network, scan your device, scan your asset. And second thing is zero trust architecture. You know about this one, right? I keep talking about this.
Right.
Zero trust infrastructure. That zero trust stands for trust no one and verify all. So what does that mean? Assume breach and verify all requests, no matter the source or locations. Think about this.
Yeah, I'm seeing more and more of that. It's frustrating as a user. On the other hand, you know, one incident will cost you more typically than putting up with, you know, dual or multi authentication.
Well, right? Here's the thing. You know, back in the old day, you say if you're in the office, that you assume everything is trust because you're in the office, your network, correct? And the moment you get outside, you say it's untrusted, so you use VPN stuff, right? But today, if you treat like every place you go, you treat the same, even in the office. That's the mentality. That's the mindset. So you say, even I'm in the office, I should be careful what I'm clicking on. Even I'm in the office, I'm the outside. I treat my office, my home, outside to Starbucks, whatever, the same. That's the mentality. Now, that is a mindset. But the architecture, next thing is the next level. I think that for individual, we don't have the money or the technology to do all that. But for company, they can do that today by restructure their network, like configure, like hide their network that the IP address that the outside cannot see. Basically, you have like connected, like think about this, like a security guard. You go into the club. There's security everywhere. The one up front, the one in the back, the one go to the office, and the one everywhere you go, where are you going? It verify, and you can only go to a place that you're supposed to go. You cannot pivot it to another site, to another location. That's the most important thing. So now this is based on the stuff that out there that the company recommend, okay? And data encryption. Encrypt your data. I mean, everything that you do, like your sensitive data, you need in rest or transit, make sure that only authorized access critical information. But you know what? You know what? Even if you're careful, let's just say, Nathan, your company that you have, you're very careful and you follow all these rules. But yes, it takes only one customer. If you have, especially in the supply chain risk management, if one of your vendor did not follow through and you dealing with that vendor every day, that can compromise your network as well.
Yeah, true.
Supply chain risk management is the most, it's very vulnerable right now. So that's why a lot of companies, they call vendor management, they must have, and every year, and I would say every quarter that they manage the vendor, they make sure the vendor up to date. And you know how they do that? All the vendor has to go through in information technology called the risk management or audit. If you audit your network and if you certify, then I will do business with you. That tell me that you complying with all the rules. You follow the rules. You keep your data safe, your vulnerability management, your configuration management. Okay, that's the audit that a lot of companies are doing to ensure that they are compliant. So that's why vendor management is one of the key part of risk management they must do. Okay, now here's the kicker. 0 day and exploit mitigation. 0 day you cannot prevent. You know what you know what I mean by 0 day?
Define it for the audience.
Okay.
When I believe unless something's changed, I do.
Well, 0 day attack is you don't know. Basically, you don't know. It's a security flaw in the software, hardware that's unknown to the vendor. Unpatch. If you don't know your vulnerability, you cannot unpatch. You cannot patch, right? Even the vendor don't even know they have a problem. Let's just say Microsoft come out with a lot of stuff, but they don't know they have vulnerability. Even Tesla, even other company. So that is a flaw, a major flaw. That antivirus or endpoint security or firewall cannot block it because they don't know what the vulnerability they cannot block. Right? It's called 0 day. 0 day, and the 0 day virus, the people who developed this, the 0 day virus are very expensive to make. So who has the money to do it? State sponsor, right? This 0 day allow the threat actor to exploit the weakness before it can be fixed. So making 0 day particularly dangerous for organization, individual alike. So a lot of products out there, they don't know their vulnerability, right? And they can be hacked. Like Google. This is the fifth time Google had listed a fifth 0 day affecting Chrome 2025. This is Google.
Wow.
The attacker bypassed the Chrome sandbox. Okay. And this is Google, and they're very up to date. You notice how many times Google asks you to update the Chrome. You have to click on the right hand corner, update the Chrome. They do it very
rare. I'm very rare. I was going to say, I can't remember the last time.
No,
they ask.
You need to look at it, but they don't ask you, but look on the right upper right hand corner. It's stay up to date. Need to restart your Chrome.
Is this under the three dots?
Yeah.
I'm in there.
No,
now.
But sometimes it's visible. They tell you, just look at the right hand corner, upper right hand corner. It said browser
refresh. Says relaunch to update.
That's right.
Relaunch.
Right.
To
you
update.
Saw that, right?
I do now. I don't. First time I ever noticed it because I don't click the three dots.
That means to be around often. There. There's... That means to be around. See, that means yeah. right there that if you don't update it, they already updated the Chrome. Because that's how to get through.
So if you click that, mm-hmm. is it going to restart the 32 instances of Chrome with the 8,000 tabs I have up?
Whatever you have, it will restart it the same way you left
it. Is
before.
That right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So it's not going to close okay. it. It's just going to restart it. It's going to update the extension. And gonna, mm-hmm.
It says it's turned off two mm-hmm. unsafe extensions. Not sure which two those might have been.
See, but we don't know, but let them do that. I just follow it. And,
oh, yeah.
and remember,
yeah,
reboot your
know.
System every week, minimum. Minimum.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, is it scary that now that every company run an operation, and I have people complain and say, you know what, I feel like we are a security company.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know? We spend more money, spend more time on security. What are we? By the end of the day, we have to sell. We are a sell organization, and we're not selling. All we deal with is security.
Yeah, true.
But that's how they. But anyway, I think I pretty much answer all the topic we have today. What else?
Well,
what else can we talk
we've
about?
We've got about 10 minutes left. Let's.
Unless you want to hear more jokes. No, I don't want to have more jokes.
Well, no. Are you keeping up with all the leaks with Apple stuff getting ready to come out in September? Is there anything there that's caught your eye? By the way, speaking of Apple, mm-hmm. you know, I've seen so much publicity as of late over their eyeglasses that are going to come out. But then I see a video yesterday that said it's targeted for like 2028. How are they doing, or why are they doing all this publicity now for a product that's not even, I mean, heck,
okay.
I will have forgotten about it.
So,
you know, long before
you,
it.
You know this, Apple Vision Pro came out, right?
Right.
Why do they call it Apple Vision Pro? So people ask
well,
them.
Well, they're trying to distinguish it, right?
That means they have a couple versions before that. And Apple do not come out with a product unless they're 100%. I'm telling you, still today, I used to update my Apple Vision Pro, and that thing is getting better and better and better every single day. That thing is so powerful.
With the software.
With the software, and it part of AI now, too. And the stuff, the graphic, I'm telling you, man, it blew me away. It's getting better. And, I mean, it's already good the first time I bought it, but now it's even better. I'm talking about the software and the graphics. You can, like, I was watching the golf game the other day, and you can see the ball flying across your face, like 3D. I'm talking about, like, think of it like an AWACS looking down to the whole game, and you can see all the ball flying. You see this person hit it, and it gives you the telemetry of the ball flying. Okay, and then you say, you know what, I'm bored, take me to Bora Bora, boom, you're in a Bora Bora. You see the whole screen of Bora Bora. I'm talking about screen.
Have you looked at the comparative on what they have now, which you have,
yeah,
and what's coming, what's the hardware improvements that they're going
to
make?
They're probably going to use voice activation more. And I'm telling you, that is the future. And OpenAI and Johnny, the guy that developed the Apple.
Johnny Ives.
So, you know, they got sued, right? They got sued.
Who got sued?
Well, apparently, there's a product that they were, Johnny was talking to other company, and then next thing you know, that they don't do business with that company anymore, and then they come out with their own. Sound familiar?
Well, wait a minute. So he's paired up with Sam Altman now.
That's right. And that video that you showed me that they're talking about, the new device coming up, that it does not require hardware. It does not require keyboard, right? Remember? Well, it still requires some kind of hardware, but it said it requires no keyboard, right? So they tell you ahead of time, you know, that the one that we little device that I bought Humane, that little thing that something is going to be similar, but this thing they're talking about is going to be on your ear.
I thought Humane was in with them on that.
I know. So that's part of OpenAI too. So that is OpenAI stuff, right? No, that's Apple. The guy that invented the Humane is Apple and OpenAI working together. But back to the story, when Sam and Ivy were talking about the device, right? And the next thing you know, I think they got sued by another company and say, wait a minute, this is the product we're doing and you were talking to us. Now you come up with your own. So that reminds me.
When's that ever stopped Apple or Microsoft?
Well, even Microsoft. Half their products were
launched that way.
And I give you the case with Microsoft in 1990. Remember the Stacker? Stacker is a compression technology, remember?
I've forgotten.
Well, man. I still remember. So back then, the operating system of Microsoft Windows 95 allowed you to compress your data, your drive. And the company that do that's called Stacker, right? And the next thing Microsoft was working with Stacker. And then they say, no, we're not interested anymore. And the next thing you know, they come out with their own.
Yeah.
And they got sued and they lost, okay? But the way they're doing like this, okay, they will take your technology and they will wait for you to sue them. And once you sue them, and they said they'll buy out, they buy you out.
Yeah.
He didn't even show up to court.
Well, you know? It's, you know, I mean, you can go down the list of the little companies that they've ripped off.
Yeah, every day.
You know, some got retribution, but a lot of them didn't. And, you know, they're all guilty. But, you know, you think back when, and I mean, this dates us, obviously, but you can remember when VisiCalc was around, right? Mm-hmm. And VisiCalc wasn't the first spreadsheet tool, but it was one of the first. I mean, there was another couple of them. I can't remember the names. I know Computer Associates had one. SuperCalc was the name of theirs, but that actually came out after VisiCalc. But, you know, those products just kind of went away because those companies weren't as gifted at stealing from the competition as Microsoft and Apple's been, because, you know, companies want to get in to Apple or get into Microsoft. It's like, I don't know the name of the movie, but YouTube Shorts is putting out snippets now of Microsoft's and Apple's earliest beginnings. And they show a Bill Gates coming in to meet with Steve Jobs, wanting to sell him or license him their MS-DOS product after IBM had done a license. And Gates was trying to appeal to Jobs, telling him, well, you know, look how many customers you'd be able to sell to. And of course, Jobs wanted nothing to do with anything that Microsoft wanted to do. Jobs wanted nothing to do with it. He always looked at it as totally inferior to the Apple ecosystem, right? Mm-hmm. And anyway.
Well, listen,
I think we're right at the end of the show. Cool. It looks like... Oh, okay. Well, I'm sorry. We've got 4 minutes left.
ChatGPT 5 reasoning alpha models spot ahead of the launch. I wonder what that is, but they come out with the ChatGPT 5 already.
Okay, now what'd you say about that? Something spotted?
Yeah.
Ahead of the launch?
That's a ChatGPT 5. GPT 5.
What is it, out on a beta or an alpha? I mean, who spotted it or how was it?
Well, this is the new one that it just came out. ChatGPT 5 reasoning alpha model just came out. So somebody just announced the new stuff that just came out.
I gotcha.
Yeah. And they said they will finalize it. But anyway, back to the Apple Vision. I'm telling you, I have not seen anything better than Apple Vision so far.
Well, now I understand, but, you know, they've been stringing along the second rev, and it was supposed to come out this year. I'm not sure it's going to, but it was going to be priced less. And, of course, they were going to drop some of the feature set, but they were adding a lot more. And I'm just curious. I mean, I've put the actual physical hardware on my head in a demo, and it's so impressive. But I was just wondering, what else would they do that's not software driven? Because software, I mean, my gosh, look at how they can improve any and have improved any of the iPhone models and iPad models after the manufacture and the purchase. It's crazy how much of the overall functionality is software related versus,
you know,
hardware
usually advanced more than software, right? So usually you have a hardware and then you have the software come next to take advantage of the hardware. So I think they think ahead of time. But the only problem I have with that thing with Apple Vision is kind of heavy to your head.
Yeah, it is. Well, that's one of the changes they're making. Mm-hmm. That's clearly on the list.
But I don't know how they're going to do that on your eyeglasses. I don't know how they're going to do that because you still have the light coming in, you know.
Yeah,
but one thing good about this Apple Vision that when you wear it, it looks like a cockpit, like the helmet, the pilot helmet. So you actually see the whole vision like 360. Pretty good.
Yeah.
But just heavy. So for entertainment, for not business. But I use it for team viewer. I mean, for team meeting, though. It's pretty awesome.
Right. Yeah, but if you were going to do like a seminar and you were the speaker, that technology would be incredibly helpful. But are you going to wear that for 8 hours or 6 hours?
No, I think 1 hour, man.
It gets heavy.
Yeah, it gets heavy. If they can make it lighter, I think we got 1 minute left.
Well, I'm pretty sure that's been on every list of enhancement that I've seen coming. Okay, well, Wynn, we are at the end of the show now. I want to thank everyone for tuning in, and we will return on Friday, this coming Friday at 11 a.m. once again. And Wynn, thank you for joining us. And everyone else, thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening. And join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.